Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of VIP Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Snighter Albuquerque from AdFactors PR Investor Relations Team. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. A very good evening to everyone, and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings call of VIP Industries Limited. From the senior management, we have with us Mr. Anandyo Datta, Managing Director, and Ms. Neetu Kashi Ramka, Executive Director and Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin the conference call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made during the course of today's call may be forward-looking in nature, including those related to the future financials and operating performances, benefits, and synergies of the company's strategy, future opportunities, and growth of the market of the company's services. Further, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's conference call may involve certain risks and uncertainties. Please take note of that. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Datta.
Thank you, Snighter. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for taking out time and joining this conference call. I hope you have all received a copy of the results published yesterday and the presentation uploaded today. As you would have seen, we had a very challenging quarter one. The revenue growth for the business overall was at 8% for the quarter. We experienced a significant slowdown of demand growth compared to the fast-paced growth that we experienced in the last financial year. While travel, especially air travel, continued its growth momentum from the data that we got, the differential demand growth in quarter one comes from the wedding season. And the wedding season apparently was significantly subdued, both on account of the number of dates and possibly spends. Also, the demand cohort could be muted because of the replacement cycle of the category, with significant upsurge in luggage buying in the previous year when travel opened up fully post-pandemic. In addition to the external environment, we had a very challenging situation at our Bangladesh facility post the loss of one of our large factories due to fire. Our alternate arrangements to rectify the supply chain could only partially fructify towards the end of the quarter. And unfortunately, we continue to have headwinds in streamlining our supply situation from Bangladesh. The disruption at Bangladesh not only resulted in short supply of some of our key ranges in soft luggage, which impacted the VIP and Skybag revenues for the quarter, but also the lower production has unfavorably impacted our gross margin. And this is due to the under-absorption of the manufacturing overheads at Bangladesh. Well, coming back to the revenue growth, while it was at 8%, I would like you to note a point that the growth in our trade channels, what we call as trade channels, both in offline channels, general trade and modern trade, and on online in the e-commerce portals, together was at about 16%. These channels contribute to approximately 70% of the business. The balance 30% is CSD, institution, and a small part has export business. I'd like to mention especially the institutional sale in the last year was exceptionally high owing to a one-time order of Hajj that we got. If we were to net off this piece of Also, I'd like to mention about the sales channel, which contributes to 15-odd% to the business and in this quarter over the previous quarter, going to significantly lower orders from CSD. CSD has initiated a very large-scale replacement exercise for the category, where we are now replacing 50% of all the approved ranges with new ranges from our existing portfolio. While this has impacted the business industry, I believe this will give a positive fillip to the category in CSD and will be an advantage for us in the future. in terms of overall demand slowdown and, as I mentioned, the unfavorable impact of CSD on the institutional channel, the underlying growth for us would have been better, given better supplies. Now coming to the gross margin for the quarter is 49.5. This is 0.5% lower than last year's same quarter. It's actually lower by about 3 to 4% from our targeted gross margin. And this is largely due to the lower production in Bangladesh and therefore the unfavorable impact of under absorption of the overheads. And it also, the lower gross margin is also due to the unfavorable mix. And when I talk about unfavorable mix, this is both in terms of brand and channels. Our value brand Aristocrat had a very good growth at 26% in this quarter over the same quarter last year. However, the growth in VIP and Skybag was muted, and this possibly is largely due to the short supply in some of the key ranges, as I mentioned, from Bangladesh. In terms of channel, I mentioned CSD, and CSD has a higher margin impact, and with the lower salience of CSD, it also had an impact on the gross margin. In terms of our fixed overheads, we continue to invest behind our brands and channel development. You would have possibly seen the high decibel campaign on Skybag, the keep trending campaign, which was across social media, across press and outdoor, and also our campaigns on VIP and Aristocrat. This significantly higher investment in our brands and strengthening our channel. When I say strengthening our channel, I especially mean e-commerce, both in the front end as well as in the supply side. There was significant investment in this quarter, and this led overall to a lower EBITDA compared to last year, and the EBITDA was at 13%, and a resultant PBT of 12%. The PBT of 12%, which is 77 crore, includes an exceptional income received of the insurance claim of. To sum it up, I think we had a very challenging quarter, and it seems the demand environment might continue to be muted in the immediate future. Also, we have continued challenge in our hands to streamline our supplies. Having said that, I'm quite hopeful about a good festive season coming ahead in Q3, and I feel confident that our focus on building strong fundamentals in our go-to-market, in our brands, and in our supply chain will deliver strong and sustained results. Thank you. With that, I would open the forum for questions, please.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Three questions from my side. First, on growth challenges, you also kind of said that the subdued performance had also an embedded reason of supply challenges also. So as per your assumption, how much incremental growth we would have lost because of Bangladesh fire disruption that we witnessed this quarter?
I would, it's difficult to put a number to it, but a very rough estimate would be about 3 to 4%.
Okay. And so would you say that demand sentiment also kind of disappointed you, or was it largely our internal challenges supply side which kind of made us come out with underwhelming number?
So definitely the demand environment did give us a surprise. We were expecting a better demand environment, and as I said, I think it is more the wedding demand cohort which significantly was muted compared to where what it usually would be. And I noticed that across other companies who are largely dependent on wedding-based revenues. So I think that, and this also corroborates that we saw lower growth in the heartland, where in the summer season we get a huge we usually get an upsurge of demand because of weddings. So that part was a surprise, where we thought the demand was significantly lower than what it could have been or should have been.
So my second question pertains to our gross margin. So if I see, and not only for this quarter, but if I compare our share of in-house manufacturing versus pre-COVID, which has improved from 40% to 70%, but our gross margin continues to be lower than our pre-COVID period. So ideally, it should actually tend to trend higher than the pre-COVID number. So just wanted to understand, why is it still low and where do you see it settling down once we have full control on in-house manufacturing?
Yeah, so one, the full benefit of in-house manufacturing is yet to come onto the business. But the larger point here is that benefit that we have got because of in-house manufacturing is in a way plowed back to make ourselves more competitive in the value end of the segment. And that's how you see our market and possibly our ability to take share in that is increased. So if you see the Aristocrat share, from pre-COVID 25%, now has gone to almost 42%, and the gross margin is at the same level as what it was before. So I think the part that we have got till now in terms of the benefit has been plowed back to in competitiveness.
And then, third and last one, was there any one-off in other expenditure this time, and after this quarter's performance, how would you revisit your guidance on both growth and margins for FY24? That's all from my side.
Sorry, what
was
the first question?
One off. So there is no one off per se. However, we have spent more in advertising. That is what you see in the other expenses, and there is the legal and profession fees. And there is some warehousing cost because of higher revenue projections. We have taken additional warehouses.
There are some one-offs, very minor ones,
yeah.
Not worth, because you know we as part of strengthening our supply chain and fulfillment for e-commerce, we are reorganizing our warehouses to make it more in tune with what the channel or the business needs, and that could have been the slight one-off that has happened in this quarter, which will not be consistent in every quarter going ahead.
Sure. And would you revisit your guidance on margins and growth for the year?
It's very difficult to right now, pinpoint this. And we will be on the lookout in the coming months to see how it pans out. But I think, you know, I am still hopeful that, you know, we should be able to get a 12 to 15% revenue growth for the year. But while I say it, a lot depends on how the demand environment really unfolds going ahead, especially in the festive season.
Sure. And so any range for margin similarly?
Well, on margins, I think we stand committed to a 52-53% gross margin. And I think that is something that we should be able to get it back. There were several things right now happening, which was more a quarter one thing. As I said, the under absorption of manufacturing overheads because of the Bangladesh thing, once it's streamlined and we are in the work in progress to make it happen, it should come back to that.
So EBITDA, if you can help. Hello.
Sorry, I didn't get your last question.
Sir, EBITDA margin, if you can help. You spoke on cross.
Oh, okay. So EBITDA margin, we should be looking at a 16 to 17%.
Okay, okay. That's all from my side, sir. And all the best for coming quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jinesh Joshi from Prabhudas Lilladher Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. If I look at this quarter, our volume growth is about 10.5%. whereas the value growth is about 8%. Does that mean we have taken any price cut in this quarter? And also any specific reason as to why we were not able to get the institutional order this time around, which has suppressed the top line growth a bit?
So let me ask you first question. The world, there is a mixed deterioration, as I said, with the differential of Aristocrat versus VIP Skybag, and VIP Skybag had a temporary issue in quarter one because of supply. So that's one. Also, the market has, with the demand slowdown, has become competitive, and there is more pricing and discounts interventions that is happening, and we are matching it as and when it is coming up. So on that account, I think the volume and value difference is coming from there.
And on
the institution order, as I said, the last year base had an institution order of a very one-time nature, which was for the Hajj pilgrimage that was happening. It was a very large order that was executed in within quarter one of last year. So it was an exceptional order that came in last year.
Sure. And in response to the previous participant's question, we mentioned that this time around we spent more on A&P. So can you share the number, what it was in this quarter versus the base quarter?
Yes, sure.
51 crore versus 32 in last year.
Okay. So I was just trying to link the A&P growth and the top line growth which we have reported. So the A&P spends are quite high in nature, yet the revenue growth is in single digits. So any particular reason as to why the top line growth has failed to catch up despite such sharp rise in the spend? And also, if I recollect properly, this time around we launched quite a few offers to kind of promote sales. And prima facie, it appears that it has not played out well. So your thoughts on this?
I think you're right. The investment on the brand was high, as the numbers are showing. But that's coming from our decision of that we'll continue to feed the brand, especially in the quarter where the demand environment is more contextual to travel. So that, it's a more salient quarter for us to, leverage any brand investment. And as far as the investment and promotions is concerned, this was completely competitive in nature. There is with the slowdown, there is, as I said, the intensity is high in terms of what competition is doing, and therefore it was important for us to also be there with the right amount of promotions and all that. The investment not resulting into the revenue, I think, is the crux of it, which is where is the whole demand situation possibly is the unfavorable condition which is not resulted in the commensurate revenue growth.
So if the growth, just one follow up, I'll get out of the queue. So if the growth fails to pick up, will the A&P spend come down? And secondly, with the slowdown which we have seen, does our CapEx guidance for 200 crores remain intact?
So yes, going forward, we are going to do our tightrope walk. Because now that we have to experience the right kind of demand environment to come back with that level of advertising and brand investment. However, any kind of channel investment will continue to be there, because that's for the year and also for long term. So we will recalibrate our A&P spends looking at the demand that we are expecting, and it won't be similar what we had in quarter one. As of right now, our capex spends are linked to what we are looking at demand for this year and next year. We are revisiting it. It may not be, we may not cancel it, but we will reschedule or postpone the investment for some time and come back to it. So I can't give you a guidance on the capex that we will do for the year, but at overarching level, we are committed to the long term, so we'll make sure that our capacities grow in line with our expected demand in the next 2 years.
But it can postpone by one or two quarters, so that's what we are using for the year.
Sure, sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Prathamesh Sawant from Axis Securities Limited. You can go ahead, sir.
Thank you. So, good afternoon, sir. So, one quick question from my end. So, can you give a timeline as in what, how long will it take us to normalize a supply situation so that we can, you know, return back to the gross margin target that you have?
As of now, I think it's going to take about a, maybe 2 to 3 months to get the supplies right. But this has also resulted in a inventory situation which is slightly lopsided or high depending on, you know, what kind of demand is there. That optimization on the inventory may take a longer time. But in terms of supplies to cater to the demand and revenues, we should be able to streamline it really by the end of this quarter.
So for Q3 demand, we might have, we can see the better margins that of 50% gross margin. Is that what you can interpret?
Yes.
Okay. And so secondly, any idea on any market share gains or idea on any market share update?
No, I don't have that right now.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it for my end.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So, Anandya, my first question is on, you know, the multiple new launches that you've done over the last few quarters. So, you've done significant brand X and also new launches, including VIP Skybags. Hello? Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you've done multiple new launches in VIP Skybags, the Highlander collection, Marvel FIFA collection, etc. So, could you elaborate more about the ROI from these investments? Because basis my limited understanding about the industry, so the premium segment and the mass premium segment, typically it's a fast fashion category. So if the products become obsolete, say, more than 6 months, they usually tend to become obsolete and hence not a lot of demand for these products. So if you can elaborate more on the
So I think there are two parts to your question, Karan. One is, you know, the fast fashion part of it, and I think since we are manufacturing now most of it, or even if you were to procure it, we keep the life cycle of the product in mind depending on what we think is going to be the depth of a product basis the consumer opportunity. And so therefore obsolescence in terms of inventory is something that we by design try and track it and control it. It is a fast fashion, so therefore you'll have to continuously bring in new products to appease and delight the consumer, and I think we've done a good job in bringing out some of these products, right?
So in terms of revenue contribution, if you could quantify what kind of revenue are you typically seeing because of these new launches, say, over the last one or 1.5 years?
About 30 to 35% of the revenue comes from typically new designs every year.
Sure, that is helpful. My second question is on market share. So we've seen that from 1QFY19 to 1QFY23, your revenues has grown at 3.5% CAGR. So if you could elaborate more in terms of when you talk about the wedding segment, wedding demand being muted, is it safe to assume that you know, the competition is rather than listed player and perhaps even Samsonite? Is it safe to assume that for them the revenue split or contribution from the wedding segment will be relatively lesser, or am I wrong in my understanding?
Well, overall, from the wedding season, the demand, specifically to the wedding season, the demand was lower. That's quite evident in our industry and allied industries or categories to do with the wedding season. So I think it will be overall impact of the muted wedding season.
Sure. And talking about the institutional order that you mentioned in the base quarter, which you've referred to as one time, so if you could elaborate more in terms of, am I correct in my understanding that this was a 22,000 order which you received in the first quarter of last year, and was that order taken up by competition this quarter, or is that order not rolled out? So if you can elaborate more on that.
It's not rolled out.
Okay. Okay. All right. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Bhargav Buddhadev from Kotak Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, team, and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on your supply issues which you highlighted. So I was under an impression that you had fast-tracked your new facility at Bangladesh in order to meet the production loss from your factory which got destroyed in the fire. So was it the case that the new factory did not sort of come up with production as envisaged, or what happened?
So, Bargo, multiple things. The fast-tracking wasn't fast enough in terms of a lot of other, let's say, procedural things that was to be taken care in Bangladesh. Also, it was not entirely dependent on that because it was a large factory. We had about two, three different parts to the plan B that we created. One was Bangladesh fast-tracking the new facility. The other was even in Bangladesh to start a second shift, which is quite against the grain of how ready-made garment or sewing based operations happens in Bangladesh and other parts of the world. Third, there were imports from China, and fourth, there were also some developments that we did in new vendors in India. I think we tried doing it all four. Large part of it worked. A part of it worked and a large part of it did not work within the quarter, and that's something. And there are many other factors that came in, the heat wave, the other disruptions in Bangladesh that we've had caused some of the delays in this whole thing.
So given that we were anticipating production issues, was it rational enough to spend a lot on advertising? Because essentially if you advertise and orders get generated, but if you're not able to supply, then how does that advertisement help?
So it was not to the magnitude that it was completely out. I mean, we are talking about a slice of the brand or the portfolio which were to come, which did not come. On time, and we did try to time it to that extent possible, but advertising goes beyond, I think, having some ranges into the market at that point of time, because we're not out of the market. Skybag and VIP brands are big, and it needs to be invested upon on a continuous basis for the equity to continue to develop. So I think that was a call taken during the quarter.
And lastly, your e-commerce vertical seems to be doing very well, growth of almost 40%, and you had hired a consultant as well for advising. So if you can share some thoughts on how is the project with the consultant approaching, what is the expense you are paying, etc., and that would be my last question.
I can tell you about how the project is progressing, but at a high level, I think it was absolutely the right thing to do, and it is starting to show green shoots in terms of results. But we are significantly focused on making the foundation and the fundamentals strong, whether it is in the product portfolio, whether it is how we show up on the portals in terms of our content, or whether it is supply chain, including, from demand forecasting to really making sure how are we designed in to fulfill the orders on time and have a very high fill rate. So it is across, it's a 360 degree, and the project is progressing well, and I'm quite confident about it being a game changer for us in the long term.
And sir, any quantification on what's the fee structure like?
No, I don't think that is worthy to share on this forum.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Most of my questions have been answered, but I just wanted to understand your market share in the e-com channel. Your share of revenue is definitely increasing on that front. How do you see this progress in line with your expectations, and how is your market share shaping up in on this channel?
So we are progressing well, as I said, on our expectation on strengthening ourselves to have a much, much stronger play in overall e-commerce and in the future. Yes, it is aimed at the long term, to gain market share. I won't have a quantification on market share as we are just about started. But definitely the objective of this whole thing is to really grow scale. The output of this project has to be about growing scale and market share within the channel. And as I said, that possibly as of right now, we can only say that we are definitely seeing early good signs of result also coming in, and we are feeling very good about the progress that we have made from within the organization.
Okay. And the second question is on penetration. One slide of yours points up out on the number of towns that you are penetrated. It's around 1,300 today. So could you just help us understand how this penetration helps in your volume growth and your revenue growth, and what is the possible number of towns that you can enter in next 5 years as an opportunity?
So, you know, at an overarching level, the big purpose of this is to be where the future long-term growth will be, right? India is growing in smaller towns and down prop strata, and it's very important to take our direct distribution to all these towns. So we took a name of looking at every town which is above a 30,000 population, right? We don't, I can't tell you for 5 years, but by 2025, we wanted to reach to about 80% of this population of all these towns, which is above 30K population. And that's the objective on which we are on. We have added about 70-odd towns in this quarter alone. The target is to reach up to about 250 additional towns, which should take it us to about 1,500-plus or thereabouts for this year, by the end of this year.
This will help on revenue growth. I mean, the presence will be EBO-driven, MBO-driven.
So these are largely MBO-driven, right? This is increasing direct reach to outlets which are there, which are selling bags, and a large part of this is also backpack. So it will help, definitely help in revenue growth and capture the demand, but it will be a slightly more longer-term investment that we are doing. And as we see the next 2 to 3 years, where, you know, in India, the growth at the bottom end will happen definitely in smaller towns. So that's where this is going to result into.
Thank you. I have one more question, but maybe I can join in the queue for on this part only.
No, please go ahead.
I just wanted to understand, because the number of cities are so large, do you see any concern on receivable days or inventory getting older in the towns, because we are spread so large now? Like 1,300 cities is one of the best penetrations across many retail.
Yeah. No, we are also changing our route-to-market model for this, and it is a distributor-led RTM that we have created. And therefore, you know, we had distributors for very large geographies. So maybe a distributor for a whole state. Now we are kind of going into to get this kind of extensiveness in our distribution. We are getting into slightly smaller geography for a distributor, and therefore the deeper penetration. So our receivables and all that be dependent on distributors, and therefore the kind of distributors we appoint will make sure that you know, the money is safe, and they are the one who is going to go into the towns and create the distribution. So it's not a it won't have a receivables issue.
There is no direct
distribution into outlets directly by us for in the smaller towns.
Okay, that helps, sir. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nihal Mahesh Jam from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much, and good evening to the management. So my first question was, you did highlight about the wedding season being muted. Would it be possible, just for our understanding, to get a ballpark sense of what would be the approximate revenue split between the normal and the wedding for this specific quarter?
No, I'm sorry. That's something very difficult to put a number to it. and split it. I won't be able to give you that guidance.
The only reason, you know, I was just coming to that is because we saw this similar wedding phenomenon happen even in Q3 of last quarter in October, November, where you had such an impact. But that time we did end up reporting quite a strong growth. So hence, we're just trying to understand the aberration versus then and now, that if there is anything you want to highlight to that.
There was no aberration in last year.
No, no. Last year, quarter three was very good.
Yeah, yeah. But the wedding season was also fine.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So this quarter, there were anyways 10 days less. Number of days were also less by 10. But we won't be able to put a number.
No, I think the question, your question is more about the contrast between quarter three and quarter one.
Yes.
And quarter three was a good quarter and the wedding season was also good in that quarter. So I don't see a conflict in the correlation there.
Maybe you know, the data that I had, there was a low number of wedding dates then also. But I'll take this offline to discuss further if that is fine.
Fair enough.
The second question was just to understand and clarify of the soft luggage that gets produced in Bangladesh. Do any of the brands have a much higher share, or it's equally spread across the three?
No. If your question is coming from the quarter one and the point that I made,
yes.
The plant that we lost had a higher index on VIP and Skybag production. This is the plant which was our oldest plant in that, and this was the first one, and therefore this is where we were making largely the premium ranges, and high design intense ranges were done in this particular plant, and therefore the challenge that we are having to get it streamlined from alternate sources.
Got that. And last point was that on the gross margin side, you did mention about the value segment also in a way compensating for some of the benefits. Is, from a channel perspective, e-com also somewhere a drag on the GM, or that is not something that is overall relevant from a GM perspective?
No, it's not a drain on the gross margin, but it definitely, I mean, I'm trying to tell you something different from your question, but it is also an opportunity there to make more premium sale happen, and that's something that we are pursuing simultaneously.
Understood. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akhil Parekh from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is on the premium range, specifically Skybag. If I look at it, the contribution of Skybag used to be 40% prior to pandemic, and has now come down significantly down from that percentage. So any specific challenges, is it to do only with the demand situation, you know, where the demand for the mass range continues to be very strong, or is it to do with the higher competition from likes of American Tourister or Samsonite? That's my first question.
A combination of 2-3 factors. One, the demand at the bottom of the pyramid, the value range is actually higher, has been higher in the past, and that's how Aristocrat and the value range swelled up. Second factor, which is more playing in this quarter, is which part of Skybag and VIP, which was the supply issue that we spoke about. These are the two larger issues in what I see as the overall Skybag performance for this quarter alone. I don't think it is much of a competitive issue, because I think the brand Skybag is quite strong and is doing very, very well. So it is the relative growth between mid-premium and us, where higher in terms of grid, or the value brand is higher at the grid, and are of a recent issue on supplies, which has caused the Skybag on this quarter to be muted.
Second of the EBITDA margin guidance is gave about 15-17% is what we are targeting for this year. But if I look at it historically for many years, first quarter has been the best quarter for us in terms of sales, margins. If I look at contribution of sales, has also been in the range of 30-32%, and PBT contribution has been 35-40% for the first quarter. So if I just do rough math, if we were to achieve 16% of EBITDA margins on blended level for FY24, we will have to do almost around 17% of EBITDA margin for subsequent three quarters. Do you think this is feasible?
Yes, I think it is feasible because it's going to flow in from the margin. So gross margin is important, and if we were to get at about 52-53% gross margin in the coming time, we should be able to, given our, you know, cost on the fixed cost and the things that we can do there, differently from how it was in quarter one, I think it's quite feasible there.
Also, if you see from last year, this skew of quarter one only is also changing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think FY23 was the only exceptional year. Like, if I look at long term, it's 15, 16, 2, 3.
Yeah, so I'm saying post COVID things have changed. So we foresee that may not be quarter two, quarter three also are equally going to be reasonably bigger. And quarter three, especially, definitely will be bigger or at least equal to quarter one.
Oh, fair enough. And last question is on the gross margin front for this quarter. How much is because of the inferior product mix, and how much is it because of the higher discounting, if at all, we are given during the quarter? That's all from me.
So, mainly mix impact is 2% and discount or realization 1.6%.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Nitin Gosar from Bank of India Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Well, team, I do appreciate the quarterly challenges that the company is going through. But I fail to understand over the last 6 years, while the absolute revenue growth has been only 700 crore for companies like us, and for us, peer set within this industry who is far smaller has also done a superior revenue growth, which is more than 700 crores over last 6 years during similar time period. You know, what's been the prognosis over there? You know, where are we, you know, in terms of scaling up the revenue? What are the shortcomings? How are we trying to address that? While quarterly challenges do exist, that's well understood.
Right. No, very interesting question. And I don't see it the last 6 years in one this thing, only because I think in between COVID and the pandemic and what impact it had on within the industry and for companies and for different companies within the industry has been very different. And I think for VIP, the way I see it is that how the next 3 years is going to pan out and what are the growth levers that we are working on, and you know, our confidence on the long-term prospects basis the fundamentals that we are making strong in the company. So very different things has happened post-COVID. Now, basis our manufacturing strength, we are gaining traction in the value segment, and which was not the case before. And that I think is the needle has moved significantly there. Right. I think the other part is will be to look at the mass premium and thereafter mostly the premium segment where we need to make a big dent into it, though it's a smaller part. Also look at we are poised well to in the longer run to really tap the big opportunity in both backpack as well as the ladies handbag. Right. So there are other growth avenues which has been worked upon right now to see how we are going to scale up in the future going ahead. So I think that are the ones which are the pivots on which it is going to grow in the future. The explanation on the last 7 years, I think because of the pandemic disruption, the companies that you're talking about within the competitive set has had a very different opportunity and their ability to tap into that opportunity.
No, I appreciate that, but sir, we also have to acknowledge the fact that, you know, as a resource, you know, our size of organization has more resource. We have four brands versus peers at only one brand. And, you know, this industry provides you opportunity in bouts because it's a consumer discretionary space. So, you know, opportunities will also come in bouts, and if we fail to, you know, conquer those opportunity in bouts, then we'll have to again wait for another cycle on discussion.
You're absolutely right, and I don't think there is a question of failure going ahead in the long term to tap these opportunities that we just spoke about. And yes, you are absolutely right, having a house of brands and the other assets that we have are going to be significantly instrumental in making us tap that opportunity better than others.
Sure, and sir, last observation. I think I also concur with the fact that one of the participants earlier had questioned, you know, advertisement spend ahead of supply chain rejig. I think we need to also revisit that, you know, inclination to spend heavily on the advertisement, because in last 5-6 years, that advertisement spend has been continuously been high. But I think having a four-brand portfolio will always, you know, will keep pushing the company to spend more. But ROI needs to be questioned on those investments.
Sure. I mean, I'm taking that as a comment. And yes, that's something that we continuously keep a watch on. And it's not a one-quarter decision. I think overall we will invest in one quarter and we will not invest in another quarter. These are strategic investments and not tactical for the quarter, and I think it does pay off in the longer run.
Sure, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is on the line of Hasmukh Visaria from SUD Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Most of my
sorry to interrupt, Mr. Hasmukh. Yeah. May we request you to use your handset, please? You're not audible, sir.
Yeah, one sec. Is it better now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. We have my question is on Caprese. So we have been very aggressive on that part from past couple of quarters, but this time around I haven't seen any slide on Caprese launches or anything else as well. So any comment on that?
The only comment is the slide, and we would send you separately on that. I think we continue to be aggressive. You're not seeing us spending a lot of money in advertising, but once again, I think the more the work that is happening is making sure we get our product right, we get our organization right, and a go-to-market right, and that's going on a very good, it's on a very good wicket right now. But we really haven't started investing behind that to grow revenue at a fast pace, because the foundation to be created was very, very important. And if you would, you know, research or look at the range that we have launched in the spring-summer collection 23, I think it's got excellent feedback. In fact, we noticed in the online portals and otherwise also our full-price sell-through on Caprese range has been far better than the industry standards. But it's still at a very small scale right now. We'll scale it up in the coming year in a big way. I mean, in the next financial year in a big way.
Understood, understood. Thanks for that. That's it from me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Hemang Kapsi from Sactum Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, Mr. Hemang, you can go ahead with your question, please.
No, my question to answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Neetu Kashi Ramka for VIP Industries Limited for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking our time and joining the call. In case you have any other questions, you can call me anytime. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.